Once again, on behalf of the Montclair Presbyterian Church congregation, I extend a welcome to all of you who are here this morning, especially visitors. It was an interesting challenge to think of how I would talk about communion here in a sermon to preach and to teach, knowing that, first of all, that this is a very non-traditional Presbyterian church in the first place, and so I'm teaching new things to everyone in this room, and not that this is some sort of common knowledge amongst Montclair Presbyterians of what the meaning of communion is and how we celebrate it here. I remember years ago now, when I was first being considered to be pastor of this church, and the way that Presbyterians do that is you sort of come and audition on a Sunday morning, preach a sermon and see, you know, how it goes, and then everybody votes and you get the job or you don't. And I was meeting with Carl Shadley, who was the interim pastor here, and talking about the Sunday when I was going to be candidating. And he said, well, it's a communion Sunday. And I said, okay, how do you normally do communion there? And he said, well, there's nothing normal. We don't do anything normally from one event to another. And it's a very non-traditional place, and they use very non-traditional language. And he said, I remember the first time I was writing a communion liturgy for Montclair and found myself trying to think of an alternative term for Jesus. And I find myself still doing that. Like, okay, this is the Lord's Supper. I think we can talk about Jesus here today. And talk about Presbyterianism a little bit, too, just to kind of get ourselves oriented in history and within the Christian tradition of what Presbyterian communion is. The word Presbyterian itself is one of those old-fashioned churchy words that most people don't even remember what it meant originally and why we call ourselves that. I remember hearing some comedian one time talking about all these different religions that people belong to, and he said, "And I'm a Frisbeeterian." He said, "We believe that when you die, your soul goes up on the roof and you can't get it down again." And I knew that was some kind of a nudge at Presbyterians, that just for having such an odd name for who we are. But the word Presbyterian originally comes from a Greek word, presbyteros, which means an elder. And it comes out of the Reformation, 16th century Europe, when the Roman Catholic Church was the church that was established and in power, temporal power and spiritual power. And the Reformation was a reaction to the abuses of power at that time in the Roman Catholic Church. And part of what the Presbyterian denomination itself then, when it arose in Scotland, one of the ways to keep those kinds of abuses of power from happening was that they set everything up to be done by groups of people, so that there was no ultimate power resting in an individual, in a pope or a bishop or a cardinal, that it was a governing body of elders of the church, members of the church who were democratically elected to govern the church and make decisions at the local and then the regional and national level. So everything in the Presbyterian Church is done by committees. There are a lot of jokes about that, too. But how slow and laborious and questionable outcomes sometimes. But that the theology underlying that says that the Holy Spirit moves in conversation when people are together in dialogue and talking, and that discovering God's will happens in a more trustworthy way when it's a group of people working together, challenging each other, bringing their own insights, enlightening one another, so that the decisions that are made are not just decisions that sort of spun in the closed loop of one person's mind. So that's why we're talking about Presbyterian communion here today, that it's the communion that comes out of this kind of a democratic and inclusive tradition. In the Presbyterian system, there are two rituals that we call sacraments. There is baptism, the sacrament in which new Christians are welcomed into the faith community, and there's the sacrament of communion. Today, as on the first Sunday of every month in this church, we celebrate the sacrament of communion. And this is a deeply symbolic ritual in the Presbyterian Church. It seems simple. We break bread and we share a cup. But underneath that simple-looking ritual are layers and layers of meaning and metaphor. And we could never fully understand or explain the meaning of communion just by talking about it. But I can at least say a few things that might shed a bit of light on what this sacrament is about. First of all, that piece of furniture there is not an altar. It's a table. An altar is a place of sacrifice. A table is a place where the family gathers to share in a meal. The emphasis is not on the sacrificial actions of Jesus as much as on the community, which now embodies the love of Christ in the world today, the living community, and not an emphasis on death. The table is a symbol of welcome and hospitality. As it is in someone's home, so it is here in this church. It is a symbol of nourishment, both physical and spiritual. The need, the call that we have to see to it that all people are fed, that they're fed in body and in spirit. And that nourishment is offered to each of us as we gather here today. There are three traditional names for this sacrament. The first is when it's called the Eucharist, and that is a Greek word for thanksgiving, that this is the table where we gather to express our gratitude. Meister Eckhart once said that if the only prayer we ever say is thank you, that would be enough. And that is what we do when we gather at this table. We pause to reflect intentionally and to remember the blessings that God has given to us and to express our gratitude. That's the Eucharist. We also call it communion, where we speak to the mystical unity that we experience with Jesus and with Christians throughout the world who also celebrate this sacrament. This is a place where we receive and offer forgiveness in order to be more closely united with one another, where we are reconciled to God and are empowered to be reconciled to one another in order to seek out that unity to which we are invited. We also call this the Lord's Supper. It's the time when we remember, as that scripture from Luke says, the time when we remember Jesus' last meal with his disciples before his arrest. And I think it's absolutely essential to understand that this was not just a typical evening meal that Jesus sat down to with his disciples, but it was the celebration of Passover. That it was an annual festival where the Jewish people recount the story of their liberation from slavery in Egypt, and it is an absolutely definitional story, central in the Jewish tradition and identity. So when Christians celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are also reaffirming the liberating power of God that is still at work in the world and in which we still participate as we work together for justice and peace. So in a few minutes, we will celebrate this sacrament, and anyone who feels moved to join is welcome to do so. We believe that God extends the invitation to human hearts, and it is not our job to prevent anyone from approaching this table. And whether or not you do participate in the sacrament itself, following the communion service, we will have a blessing of bread in all three of the faith traditions and share in that bread as a sign of our unity beyond our particular faith traditions, as sisters and brothers in God's great family. Amen.